As we prepare to move into a time of Scripture, we do so, I want to give you a little bit of an introduction. First is that this verse, this passage, I think, is going to teach you most anything you need to know about saints. But the second is I want to reflect briefly on where this passage is written from. If I were in jail and I had one phone call, I would not necessarily call Jan and say, "Hey, Jan, I just want to let you know how spiritual I think you are and how meaningful your prayers are. And you're a good bass player, too, and that's a nice outfit you're wearing. And I just want to let you know that I am praying to God for you every day. Thank you so much. Goodbye, Jan." And leave it at that. Of course not. I'm calling up and I'm like, "Hey, I'm Jan. Do you have bail money? Can you get me a lawyer? Can you get me out of here? I need help and I need help now." All right, so Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, which you're about to hear Gwen read to you, was written from jail. And I really want you to pay attention because there weren't telephones back then. There wasn't that one phone call. There were letters. And this is what he wrote from jail to the people at Philippi.
The scripture reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 1. Verses 1-11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because you are sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I feel like I ought to say something about this. At other services where I wear a robe, this is a stole that goes over my robe. And this is the one that was made for me by someone here for All Saints Day. And so it's some of the bells that we use. And it really, I like it because it's a reminder to me that the saints truly do surround me, surround us all every day. And so I went ahead and chose to wear it during this service even without a robe because that's so important. And in the scripture passage today, we're going to really learn, I believe, in these verses, everything we need to know about saints. Now, typically in my sermons, when I am speaking about Scripture, I have it on the screen behind me so that we can look at it together. With the events of this week with my mother-in-law, I was not able to pull that together, so we are doing it old school. So I invite you to either grab your Bible or open up your bulletin to where there is the Scripture passage, because I really want to look at these verses closely with you because it teaches us about saints. Now, the letter was written to Philippi. Philippi was at a major intersection of an east-west road and a north-south road, so it was a pretty educated population, which meant that they knew how you would write letters. And in that day, there was a very clear formula to write a letter: from X to Y, greetings. From Sally to Jan, greetings. In the same way that nowadays we'd write, "Dear Jan, dear Sally." Well, it was from Sally to Jan, greetings. Paul knows that. Everybody who's getting this letter knows that. And Paul takes that and turns it around in some pretty cool ways. So the very beginning, you see Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. The first thing you notice is Timothy's name is there. Timothy is actually not in prison with Paul. Timothy is actually not co-authoring this letter with Paul. However, Paul is going to be sending Timothy to the church at Philippi. And so Paul wants to lift up Timothy and before he gets there. And so Paul says this letter is from Paul and Timothy so that they will already have some respect for Timothy when he gets to that church. That is so important. It is so important for pastors who are experienced in ministry to be lifting up young pastors as they are learning their ways around. It's important for nurses who are good at their work to be lifting up and mentoring other nurses. It's important for fill in the blank, whatever profession it is, for those who are good at it, experienced at it, to be lifting up those people coming forward. That's one of the ways we pay it forward to the next generation, and Paul starts out by doing that. And then he says, servants of Christ Jesus. The New Revised Standard Version is always so polite in its rendering of Scripture. Actually, it's slaves is what the Greek word is. I won't try and say the Greek for you, but it means slaves. Now, I want to lift that up to you because slaves is a harsh word. We know that. We know all of the negative connotations of that. And Paul knew the negative connotations too, and he was making a point that he serves Christ even at whatever expense of his own, that there is a master and his master is Christ. So he starts out, Paul and Timothy, servants in Christ Jesus, servants of Christ Jesus. At the very beginning of this letter, he lets us know who he is. And what he is saying to us is, don't bother paying attention to me, but I'm lifting up Timothy, and oh my goodness, Christ Jesus is the one that I want you to know about. All of that he's saying, and they're going to get that because it's different than how the letters usually begin. So if that is who the letter is from, Christ who serves Christ, Jesus, who Paul, who serves Jesus above all, then who is the letter to? To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. All right, so to saints. What does that mean? Saints are anybody, a people of God who are holy because we are called by a holy God. And I want you to hear that to all the saints, which is all of those who are getting this letter, because they are holy because they are called by a holy God. They are not saints because they are perfect. They are not saints because they've been adjudicated by somebody to be saints. They are not perfect because they have performed healings or miracles. They are saints because they are called by a holy God, and therefore we all are holy, which means that we are all saints. And in fact, Paul says to all the saints, not just some of the saints, not just the saints that he liked, not just the saints that supported him, not just however you want to define it, but to all the saints. To everyone who is holy because you are called by a holy God. And again, who are they? In Christ Jesus. And then they're also somewhere else. Not just in Christ Jesus, but they're in Philippi. And that's significant. Because we who are saints, and look around, we are all saints here, live in two places at once. We are in Christ Jesus, and we are in Philippi. Or Blue Springs, or Independence, or Missouri, or the United States of America, which means that we are always living in two places at once. We're living in the kingdom of God through Christ Jesus, and we're living in the United States, or Blue Springs, or Missouri, or wherever you want to draw those lines. And the point here, which one does Paul put first? Christ Jesus. If we have got our citizenship in the heavenly kingdom, right, if we are following Christ, then our citizenship elsewhere will fall into place. But if we get it mixed up, and if we believe that our allegiance to an earthly kingdom is stronger than our allegiance to a heavenly kingdom, then we're going to have it messed up. But no, if we follow Christ Jesus first, then the rest will follow. So to all the saints, in Christ Jesus, all the saints, all of the, not just the rich saints or the Methodist saints or the Blue Spring saints or the white saints or whatever type of saint you want to fill in the blank for, but to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. I'm not sure why he's got bishops and deacons kind of set aside there. I'll leave that for now. But then he goes on, because to all of the saints, all of us who are holy because we are called by a holy God, then grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace follows those who follow Jesus Christ. I want you to hear that. Those are just two verses. But in those two verses, you find out really pretty much everything you need to know about saints. And so Paul, after having totally turned upside down that from to greetings, and instead defined everybody how in relationship to Jesus Christ, because that's really how we're defined, he goes on to pray for them. In verse 3, I know the verse numbers aren't marked in what you're looking at. I thank my God every time I remember you. Who does Paul thank? Does he thank the Philippians for being faithful, for being friends of his, for sending him support? No, the first thing he does is he thanks God for them. And that's really what we've been about today, thanking God for the life of the saints. Whoever those saints are for you, whether you have lost them in this year or before then, or whether they're sitting beside you, or maybe at home or a phone call away, be sure and take time to thank God for the saints. Thank them, too, for being important in your life, but thank God for them. And that's what Paul does. And he prays constantly and is certain that Christ is going to bring all the good works to completion. And he loves them with his whole heart. Actually, at the very beginning, at verse 8, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. The word there actually is with the bowels of Christ Jesus. And that's because in that, you know how when we think of love, we point to our heart and we think of heart as love? Well, the gut is where they would feel their strong feelings in that culture. And so with the guts of Jesus, I'm thinking of you with love. And that is as deep a love as you can get. And so then he goes from prayers of thanksgiving to prayers of supplication. And remember, Paul is still in prison. So maybe if I were feeling Christian enough to thank you, God, you know, you're with me in all circumstances, and you know, then maybe, though, when it was time for supplication, I would, and dear God, please get me out of here. Dear Church of Philippi, please get me out of here. But from prison, Paul says this, and this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight. And what he prays isn't for himself, but he prays that they may have love, and that love will lead to knowledge and to insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. That you may have love is my prayer for you, Paul says. Think about these saints that we've been thanking God for. The names that we've named, I've had the privilege of walking with many of them, and I've had the privilege of officiating at many of their services. And as I talk to families around these times, and certainly with these names that we've read, what I hear will be some about the accomplishments. Oh, you need to know that they got this degree and they worked here. But what I really hear is, but let me tell you about what it was like for this person to be my father, grandfather, mother, grandmother, cousin, aunt. And they'll talk not about the degrees, but about the love they experienced and all the different ways that they experienced that. This week has been a precious time for Andy and I. We have spent it with his mom at her bedside. And while we had wished that she would go more quickly, there was a gift that we hadn't realized we were going to receive. Sitting there by her bed, people would come in to the care center. She was at John Knox Village. And they would tell us stories that we never suspected, because what she would tell us when we would see her would be totally different than what she was experiencing. And they would come in and they'd talk about sitting down with her in the evenings and having cookies with her or bringing her ice cream and talking. And she was a nurse. And the one that I want to share with with you, though, is that there was a nurse's aide there, a CNA, and June had been talking to her one evening, and the CNA said, well, I'd started school to get my LPN, my licensed practical nursing, and maybe one day get my RN. These are different ranks in nursing. And June looked at her and said, well, you have to do that. She said, there's more money in it. She said, but you have to do that. And this aide was telling us that she did. She went back to school because of my mother-in-law, and she's going to finish it because of my mother-in-law, because of June. And I loved that story because, sure, there were nursing degrees on June's wall, but it was the conversation. It was the love that she flowed, that she shared, that overflowed. And that's the way it is with all of the saints that surround us, and that's the way it is with us, too. That what really is most important, we who are saints, is the love that we have received and the love that we shared. In a moment, I'm going to share with you a video of a couple of saints that are in our room. You see, a year ago, we decided as a congregation that we were going to try and let our love overflow for the next generation. We entered into a season of generosity called We Are More, a two-year initiative where we are really focusing on trying to free up some of our debt so that our kids can just have mission and ministry as they need without worrying about that. And that's a lot of our dream that we continue. And so a lot has happened in this first year of this two-year initiative. You'll be getting a mailing this week that will tell you some of the numbers, but what I want to share with you today is just this story from a family, and I want you to hear, because you're going to hear not only from saints, but you're going to hear about saints also. So this is Angie and Bill Wickham's story. Did you hear the witness of the saints when Angie was talking about, you know, with this job change, she wasn't sure, and then she said, but my mom would have done it, and so I'm going to do it too. And then you heard Bill speaking, talking about the impact that they're having on their own children. The boys, Landon and Leighton, are seeing that too. And I love that, because isn't that what saints are, that love overflowed to them, and they're living that, and now they're overflowing in a way that their boys are seeing, so that you know that those boys, when they become dads, too, are going to pass that on to their children and beyond too. That's the way that saints works. Saints work. Love overflows and overflows and overflows. And so to all the saints in Blue Springs, I thank my God every time I remember you. I thank God for the gift of love that grows and overflows in you. And I pray that God will bring about that harvest of righteousness until that day comes when we all feast together at Christ's heavenly kingdom. Will you pray with me? Oh God, I thank you so much for this gift of love that you have given us that continues to overflow. I thank you for all of the saints that surround us, and God, I thank you for the saints that have gone before us, and God, I pray for the saints that come after us. And so, God, use us, saints as we are, made holy because you who call us are holy. Amen.